Well, we are back in the book of 1 Peter. Appreciate all those that ministered last week in my absence and Dwayne preaching and Ed leading. I asked Ed if he wanted to do that regularly. He said maybe irregularly, like once every 4 years. But do appreciate Ed leading and all those that were involved last week in that. But we have been looking through the book of 1 Peter. Today we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And if you recall, we've been looking in this section of Scripture, really even if you look back up into chapter 2, looking at the relationship that we are to have. How do we submit ourselves? How do we allow ourselves to submit to our government leaders? That's difficult at times, but yet God has ordained them. God has set them in place. And so we addressed that a few weeks ago, submitting ourselves to our government officials. And then we looked at the relationship between masters and slaves. We could even say employees and employers. How do we deal with working in a work environment that may be difficult? How do we submit to that? And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The wives submitting to their own husbands and the role that the wife plays in her relationship with her husband. And so we looked at that at verses 1 through 6. And so today, verse 7, we're looking at the husbands. And we're taking one entire verse just to look at the husbands and to look at what Peter is writing. Again, this is in the big context. Remember, 1 Peter is being written in the big context of those who are dispersed. Persecution has come to Rome. Persecution has occurred. There are people who are dispersed into Bithynia and Cappadocia, Asia Minor, that whole area. And Peter is addressing how do you prepare and how do you live within persecution, within a situation that maybe is different or unique than our safe, secure little home environment that we have. And the heart of 1 Peter that Peter addresses, the heart of the matter is this: how we deal with and prepare for persecution is rooted in our personal relationships with other people. We would think maybe we would get some kind of teaching or some kind of instruction on preparing for persecution in such a way, well, here's all these things that you need to do. You need to store up food. You need to do this. You need to get clothes. You need to get shelter. But Peter doesn't address any of those things. Peter addresses the heart of this book is addressing the need for personal relationships to be correct. Why is that so important? Well, in persecution and in times where things are occurring, such as I think is coming in our country, where we're dealing with the possibility of some of the things that we're dealing with, why are relationships so important? They're so important for this reason, is that because the unity and the bond that we keep together in our personal relationships is what's going to help sustain us through those difficulties of persecution. If Satan has the foothold, if Satan has the place to destroy personal relationships, then he can divide and conquer the believers. And so Peter has been addressing this through the last section of chapter 2 and now into chapter 3. He's been addressing, here's how you deal with a government. Here's how you deal with your employees and employers' relationship. Wives, here's how you deal with your husbands. And now, verse 7, Peter's going to address the husbands. And so we've looked at the wives, we've looked at the employment, we've looked at the government, and now we'll address the husbands. And as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, those of you men who were here on the 18th, guaranteed yourself that you needed to be here today. Because if you had to sit under what the wives are supposed to do, the husbands have to sit here for what the husbands are supposed to do. So I trust that hopefully none of the men got scared, didn't come today. I'm sure if they do, the CDs will fly off the shelves to them from the women. But as we address this particular verse, this is probably one of the more difficult verses, not to understand, but to apply as men. And being a man and just understanding how men are, we struggle sometimes to live this way with our wives. So verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to take a look at a video really quick before we get into this. Father, thank you so much for today. Open our hearts and our minds to the truths that you have for us in your word. Father, help us as husbands, as leaders, as men, to be the husbands that you intend for us to be. Father, we thank you for the example that you give to us in leadership and in serving and in being the one who leads. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to imitate Christ in his love for the church and our love for our wives. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Some of you may have seen this video that we're going to show. It's just about a minute long. It kind of sets the tone for the relationship between husbands and wives.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out.
See,
you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on?
Challenges. Marriage relationships. Sometimes women look at things differently than men look at things. I can relate to that video. We've had many of those conversations, and we continue to have those conversations. And so as you come to 1 Peter 3:7, and Peter so wonderfully states for us as men, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, that honestly has to be one of the more challenging passages in Scripture. For men to live with their wives in an understanding way. For a man to be able to exist with his wife and say, you know what? I want to understand her. I want to understand how she thinks. I want to understand what makes her tick. I want to understand her. Because for men, we look at things entirely different. We just examine things entirely different through a different lens, through a different process. And so it is very difficult for us sometimes to live with our wives in an understanding way. And so, 2 weeks ago, we entitled the message, The Beauty of a Quiet Woman, coming directly out of the passage there in verses 1 through 6. Today, to kind of keep some synonymous aspect to this, the beauty of an understanding man. That when a man lives with his wife according to knowledge, when he dwells with her according to who she is and how she operates, there is a beauty that is there. And so Peter addresses in one verse, he succinctly communicates to the men, likewise, in the same way, men, just as the women were to submit to you, and just as women were ultimately to submit to the Lord, to Christ, men, you submit yourselves to God, but likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So we look at this in your outline you have this morning. The first thought is this: husbands must live with their wives in an understanding way. This isn't a suggestion, as much as I would like it to be. Like, I would like this to be like, you know what, Dave, if if you've got time and it works out for you and you have nothing better to do and you can understand your wife, great. But this isn't a suggestion. This is a command that has been given to us. Husbands, this is what you must do. This isn't like, man, I don't understand this woman that God gave me. I don't understand how she thinks. I don't understand how she operates. And I'm okay living in my ignorance. You cannot be okay living in your ignorance. You cannot be, as a man, okay and comfortable with saying, well, I just don't understand her, and I guess that's her problem. I guess that's her fault. She's just complicated. She's just different than I am. So, you know what? Tough for her, but I'm not going to live in an understanding way. This is a command that you must fulfill. Husbands, you must live with your wives in an understanding way. Two thoughts that Peter addresses here. The first one is this: to live with them. What does that mean? That word live means to dwell together. It indicates a relationship that's occurring between two people. In other words, this is an active relationship. This isn't like some kind of business relationship. We look at politics and we look at Hollywood or we look at other type of celebrity status type of people where they have marriages, quote unquote, where they're living together or they exist together or they see each other maybe every once a month or twice a year or whatever the case may be, as one's off doing their career and one's off doing their career. But that's not what Peter's talking about. Peter's not talking about some kind of a business arrangement marriage, like maybe we see with some politicians or some celebrities. Peter's talking about you live with this person. You dwell together. There is an active relationship that's going on. If your marriage can be described as simply a business arrangement or a business partnership where you just simply are together for the sake of how it looks, Peter's not addressing that. In fact, Peter is saying that's wrong. You need to live with your wife. You need to live with your husband in a proactive, relational manner. And then he says you're to live with her in an understanding way. What does that word understanding mean? It means this: a manner where you have knowledge, awareness, and here's the kicker, application of the information. So some men live with their wives, they dwell with their wives, they have this active relationship with their wife, and they can say, you know what, oh, I know this about my wife. I understand this about my wife. I have an awareness of this about my wife. And then, if you're like me, the application part of it just kind of, well, can I have credit for knowing it and understanding it? But what does this word mean? When Peter says, you husbands, you live with your wives in an understanding way, the word understanding communicates to us, it's not just enough to have knowledge about my wife. It's not just enough to have awareness about her. It's not just enough to have this understanding of her, but I now need to apply that information. So if I know and I understand something about Kimberly, I must apply that knowledge. I can't just say, well, hey, hon, I know this about you. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to fulfill it. I'm not going to meet that need. But hey, I know this about you. They're not talking about just simply a head knowledge. We're talking about an application that sits there and says, how can I be the husband to her that I need to be? So what do husbands need to understand? Well, you need to, first of all, understand her personality. How is she wired? How does she respond in certain situations? Is she an extrovert? Is she an introvert? Is she a social magnet? Does she prefer it if she goes unnoticed? Is she carefree? Or is she more concerned about details and rules? How has God designed your wife? How has God designed her in His creative way of making her, in His creative way of building her, so to speak, in her personality, her character, who she is? How has God wired her? So men, you need to understand that. You need to figure that out. You need to be able to say, I understand what her fears are, what her anxieties are. I understand what she's concerned about. I understand what communicates love to her. I understand how to be the husband to her that I need to be. Because just like in the video, it is really easy. I mean, I look at this passage and I think, you know, it's really easy for me to sit there and say, you know what? I mean, as probably your relationships are with your spouse, if you were to be a fly on our wall, you'd probably get a laugh, even though to us it's not always funny. The differences in how we communicate, the differences in how we look at things, the differences in how we view things. And it's not enough for me just to say, well, this is me and that's you, and boy, I hope we can kind of figure out how to get along at some point. This is Peter telling me as a husband, Dave, you must live with Kimberly according to knowledge, because that's exactly how Christ lives with the church. So the picture, Christ and the church, the picture in Ephesians chapter 5 of how Christ deals with the church, he loves the church, he sacrifices for the church, is the picture that we transpose then into marriage. So husbands must understand her personality. You must understand her needs. Let her be. Just as Christ knows us as believers in an intimate way, the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ understands us, how he knows us, how he created us, how he designed us, is going to be perfect. How Christ relates to us. So we take this example, Ephesians chapter 5, just as Christ loved the church, husbands, you are to love your wife. So I look at this and I say, well, you know what? Christ loves me. And us, corporately, as the church, he loves us perfectly. Christ is the perfect embodiment of what this is supposed to look like. So I read this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Okay, just like Christ did, I use the example of Christ, and I go home, and what happens? I fail. Why? Because I'm not Christ. Nor can I ever be Christ. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but we'll mention it here as well. Women, if you view your husband as the same standard as you view Christ, you will be sorely disappointed. If you think that your husband is going to be perfect, and you think that your husband is going to love you unconditionally and love you perfectly like Christ loves, you're going to be in for some serious disappointment. But as men, our obligation is to say, what is her needs? What are her needs? What does she need? How can I help her? What are her fears, her anxieties, her stresses, her dreams? It's our job as husbands to know our wives better than we know anyone else. If you know your job better than you know your wife, you're failing. If you know some other individual better than you know your wife, you're failing, other than Christ. God has called the husbands to live with their wives according to knowledge, as the King James states, but in an understanding way. The Bible talks about this in several different aspects. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, the Bible says this, that husbands are to be intimate with their wives. 1 Samuel 1, 8 tells us that husbands are to comfort their wives. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9 says husbands are to enjoy their wives. Ephesians 5, 25 through 29 and Colossians 3, 19 tells us that husbands are to love their wives. 1 Corinthians 7, 33 tells us that husbands are to please their wives. Proverbs 31, 28 through 30 tells us that husbands are to praise their wives. Several passages communicate that husbands are to remain faithful to their wives. Proverbs 31:11 and 1 Peter 3:7 tells us that husbands are to respect their wives. So we look at all of those passages, and there are others that we could look at, and we say, you know what? It's a daunting task to be the godly husband that God has called us to be as men, as leaders of our home, as husbands who are to live with our wives in an understanding way. This is a daunting task for us, because much like the video, we begin to look at things and we begin to say, well, if you just did this, it would all go away. And she's not thinking that way, and she's not experiencing life that way, and she's not going through life that way. And so as a husband, I can't just sit there and say, well, she's different than me. I don't understand her. That's the point. That's why Peter says you must live with her in an understanding way. If it were just something that came naturally, if it were just something that was extremely easy for men to do, then Peter wouldn't really need to address it. But he says, hey, husbands, you must live with your wife, a proactive relationship with her in an understanding way, understanding who she is and understanding what she needs. The number two, not only must husbands live with their wives in an understanding way, but husbands must also show honor to their wives as the weaker vessel. He says there in verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. So now we need to answer the question, what does it mean by weaker vessel? Because there are some who, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, you have on one hand, you have, I guess maybe we would call them strict conservative, legalistic people, as we talked about. And then you have on the other hand, more of a Christian feminist type of position. On the other hand, the Christian feminist would be tempted to take this and look at this and say, well, how dare Peter say that the woman is the weaker vessel? Women can do everything that men can do. So what is Peter talking about? What is Peter addressing when he says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel? So what does this word weaker vessel mean? Well, there's some things that we can probably rule out. This cannot refer to emotions. For there are plenty of women who have endured incredibly emotional situations with a great deal of tenacity. In other words, they endured emotional situations with courage and bravery. And they endured those emotional situations in a way that they are to be applauded. And this cannot refer to morality, as there are plenty of examples where men have been deficient morally. So we can't look at this passage and say, well, you know what? I bet you Peter's just talking about emotional. Because, you know, men tend to not be as emotional. Women tend, generically, to be more emotional. So maybe he's talking about emotions. Maybe they're just weak emotionally. It doesn't seem to be what Peter's trying to refer to. Because we can look at the example of women who have displayed themselves in a tremendous way emotionally. It can't seem to be referring to a morality. We can't look at this and say, well, you know what? Women are just weaker morally. Because we tend to look at the testimony of society and the testimony of history and say, you know what? Men are typically going to be looked at as immoral more than even women are. So it can't seem to be referring to morality. This also can't refer to spirituality. Because we could also argue as well that as a rule, women tend to be much more engaged spiritually than men. So as we look at this, we can't sit there and say, well, Peter, maybe he's talking about emotions. Doesn't seem to be talking about emotions. Maybe he's talking about morality. Doesn't seem to be dealing with morality. Maybe he's talking about spirituality. Maybe women are just the weaker vessel spiritually. Like they can't understand theology as much as men. Like they can't know those things of the Bible like men. That doesn't seem to be what Peter is addressing either. Because we have the testimony of so many children who have been greatly impacted by the example of their mom teaching them and instructing them and encouraging them in theological matters. In fact, I would just argue, plain and simple, as a general rule, women seem to be much more engaged spiritually as a rule than even believing men. So it doesn't seem to be dealing with emotions or morality or spirituality. As you look at several different commentators, they seem to all kind of come to the same conclusion that the best understanding of this seems to be a physical standpoint. Not that women aren't strong, not that women can't do things physically. There are plenty of able-bodied women physically. But Peter seems to be addressing and looking at this from the generic standpoint that would say the weaker vessel seems to be indicative of a woman or a man in relationship to a woman where the woman is physically not as strong, not as capably as strong as the man. Are there strong women? Yes. Just watch some of the shows on ESPN about, you know, the women bodybuilders. My goodness, those ladies can do a lot more than a lot of men. But as a general rule, if you look at comparing men and women, this seems to be talking about in dealing with a physical aspect of her makeup and her creation. So when Peter's addressing this in verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Peter seems to be addressing this more from the standpoint of the physical side of things. It seems that Peter is referring more to the feminine side. We would think typically of a feminine woman as someone who is not going to be kind of that bodybuilding type of woman who's out to prove that she can, you know, deadlift 1,000 pounds and beat the men. So we're looking at more of the physical side of things. And men, you are to give honor to them and you are to live with them in that way. So what does this look like? Husbands, letter A. Husbands must see their wives as having the same value that God grants to them. Husbands must see their wives as having the same value that God grants to them. But then letter B, husbands must commit to honor her. What is Peter addressing here? You show honor, men. You show honor to the woman as to the weaker vessel. So what does this mean? If we're talking about in a physical sense, we're not seeming to be focused on an emotional side of things. We're not seeming to be focused on a morality side of things. We're not seeming to be focused on a spiritual side of things, but rather just simply a physical side of things. And Peter says this, men, husbands, you show honor to the woman in that condition, in that state. What is Peter addressing? Well, we have Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, which states this, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Treat them with honor. Treat them with respect. Treat them with love. Treat them with tenderness. Treat them with care and compassion. That word harsh there in Colossians 3:19 means to make bitter, to make them embittered. Husbands, do not make your wife bitter because of how you treat her. Husbands, do not embitter your wife against you, against the church, against God, because of how you as a husband, as the example of Christ, are treating her and not caring for her. So how do we do this as husbands? How do we honor our wives as the weaker vessel? Well, there's several different ways that we do this. First of all, number one, through providing for her. As a husband, our obligation, my obligation, is to provide for my wife. How do I do that? I provide for her emotionally. I look at that and say, well, I'm not a super emotional guy. So how am I supposed to provide for my wife emotionally? How am I supposed to deal with the emotions of my wife when I don't understand them? That's really hard. That's hard for me. I don't cry a lot. I'm not saying that Kimberly does. I don't cry a lot. I just don't have a lot of those kind of emotions. And so when I'm experiencing that in a marriage relationship and I'm supposed to provide for her, one of the things that I learned quickly in marriage was that hugs don't heal all wounds, but they do help. And sometimes, as a husband, I remember my mom gave me advice before I got married. And she told me, she said, David, whether you're wrong or right, giving your wife a hug will go a long way. Well, I remember when we got married, and that first year, you're trying to figure out life, and it wasn't all peaceful and blissful. And we had some arguments, and we had some burnt spaghetti one night because we were arguing. And I remember my mom's words of encouragement to me to say, whether you're right or you're wrong, give her a hug. And just help her work through things and you work through things. And I thought to myself, especially in those first few days or first few years there of marriage, you know what? I don't feel like giving her a hug right now because she's really irritated me. She really made me mad. I can't believe she thinks this way. I can't believe she responds this way. I can't believe she does this way. And as a husband into the first years or two of marriage, I'm sitting there going, this makes no sense to me. There's no manual that they give to you to help you understand this stuff. And then I realized, you know what? My mom actually knew what she was talking about. And I began to learn to say, you know what? I need to understand, you know what? I may be right, I may be wrong, but I need to express emotionally to my wife, I care about you, I love you. One of the things that we have learned is this, that women need to understand everything is going to be okay. When a husband and a wife argue and fight and have issues together, the man kind of looks at it from like almost a competition standpoint. Like, I'm going to be right and I'm going to win. And the woman tends to look at it more from the standpoint, I need to know everything's going to be okay. I need to know that there's going to be security here. I need to know that there's going to be comfort here. And so as a husband, learning to provide for her emotionally, learn to provide for her spiritually, making sure that you as a husband are encouraging your wife spiritually, that you engage her spiritually, and then to learn to provide for her physically, making sure that you're meeting her physical needs, making sure that you're taking care of her, putting food on the table, providing for her, enabling her to live. So first of all, we provide for her emotionally, spiritually, physically. Second of all, we protect her. How does a husband honor his wife as a weaker vessel? They provide for her, first of all, and second of all, they protect her. They protect her emotionally, spiritually, and physically. It's important for us as men to be the protectors of our wives. It doesn't mean that wives are incapable of protecting themselves. In fact, I would dare say that there are some women who are very gifted at taking care of themselves and protecting themselves. But as a husband, my obligation in seeking to honor my wife and seeking to understand her, seeking to live with her according to knowledge, my obligation as a husband is to say, I need to make sure that I'm protecting her. I need to make sure that I'm not just leaving her out there to defend for herself. I'm not just leaving her out there to take care of her, herself. That's why we look at the seemingly chivalrous thought that's leaving, but it's holding a door for a woman. It doesn't mean that a woman is incapable of holding the door. The woman is probably capable of opening the door. But there is a message that's being communicated that says, you know what? I want to honor not just my wife, but I want to honor other women. Not to say that you're incapable, not to say that you're unable to do that, but I want to show honor to you to be able to be the chivalrous person that I need to be. So I honor her through providing for her, through protecting her, and then I honor her through respecting her. I respect her emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Again, going back up to what we mentioned in letter A there under number two, husbands must see their wives as having the same value that God grants to them. If you see a husband who does not protect, provide, or respect his wife, there is a very good chance that it is a husband who does not value his wife like God values her. So as a man, as a husband, as someone who is married, someone who is living with my wife according to knowledge, I want to honor her as the weaker vessel. I want to honor her in such a way that I glorify God. I give the honor and glory to God. And how do I do that? I provide for her, I protect her, and I respect her. I allow myself to be to her a little bit of what Christ is to the church. Again, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22 through 33, and we read about husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. Well, how did he love the church? He gave himself for it. He sacrificed himself for her. So as husbands, we do the same way. We honor our wives by providing for her, by protecting her, by respecting her. But here is an important aspect for the women. If you as a wife are seeking to find your ultimate satisfaction in your husband, you will be sorely disappointed. Just like we looked at Debbie Pearl's book, Created to Be His Helpmeet, 2 weeks ago, where she says in her book, the entire purpose of a woman is all summed up in meeting her husband's physical needs. That's her entire value. That's her entire worth. If we take that approach and we take that look and a wife takes that particular view of her husband and she says, well, my entire goal and mission in life is to fulfill his every need, she's going to fail. She can't do that. That's not why God created her. God created her for his glory, for his honor, to be a creation that gives honor and glory to God. But if you're a wife looking to find your ultimate satisfaction, if I could just find a man that I could be ultimately satisfied in, you will be sorely disappointed. There are plenty of marriages that have broken apart because on some level, either a wife or a husband sought to find ultimate satisfaction in another person rather than finding ultimate satisfaction in Jesus Christ. What allows two completely diverse people to function together in a marriage? What allows us to do that? It can only be Jesus Christ. I look at Kimberly and I, and we are polar opposite. She's classical and I'm not. She likes things and understands things and does things that I look at and go, what? Like, why would you do that? Like, that makes no sense to me at all. And I am sure, probably in one minute area, she looks at me, no, many areas, she would look at me and say, I don't get Dave. Why does he think that way? Why does he do that? Why did he say that? Why did he do that? Why is he this way? What allows the two of us, and what allows you and your marriage to have two diverse people who come together and can stay together for the honor and glory of Christ? What allows that to happen? It can only be Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who will perfectly work in and through us to enable us to accomplish that. So number three, husbands must recognize the special relationship of marriage. So husbands, first of all, you must live with your wives in an understanding way. Husbands, second of all, must honor their wife as the weaker vessel. And then husbands, what else must you do? You must recognize the special relationship of marriage. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. So what is Peter addressing? Peter's addressing this matter of your relationship with your wife. And what does he say? Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Husbands, show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Why? Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. What is Peter trying to communicate? It's a picture here of marriage. What is he communicating about marriage? Letter A, marriage is a form of God's grace. Since they are heirs with you, partners together with you of the grace of life. There is something that we would call common grace. There's salvific grace that God grants to those in salvation, but there is also common grace. There are things that God in his love and just his graciousness has provided good things for all people. Air we breathe, drinks we drink, things that we enjoy. Mountains that we have. Everybody can enjoy those things. That's common grace. Saved or unsaved, you can enjoy those. And so when Peter talks here, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, what he seems to be communicating in this particular phrase is this. There is a grace that is found in marriage. It's a form of God's common grace to us. This is why when we look at society as a whole and the entirety of marriage, the entirety of the marital status, the relationship between what constitutes a marriage is being completely re-altered and completely redefined. Why is that an issue? Well, there's several theological reasons why that's an issue. God has ordained the institution of marriage. God has ordained it to be between a man and a woman. God has ordained it to function that way. And First Peter communicates that's a form of his common grace. Saved or unsaved, and you're in a relationship that is in a marriage, you are under a form of God's common grace to you. There is a relationship there, even between two unbelieving people. That is a form of God's grace, that you can participate in that kind of relationship, that you can participate in that kind of agreement. And so Peter says there, they are heirs with you of this grace of life. They're partners, they're joint recipients of this grace in your life. And letter B, your wife is a joint partner in the grace of marriage. Marriage is not about the man. And conversely, marriage is not about the woman. Marriage is about two people joined in partnership together with their focus on Jesus Christ. This is why Paul talks about in Corinthians, believers, make sure that you are not yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because the marriage relationship is going to be drastically skewed. But making sure that as believers, as we live in this way, as we live in this functionality of marriage, that we're allowing ourselves to understand the grace that God has given to us. So my wife is a joint partner in the grace of marriage. Our marriage relationship is not about me. I don't get to go home and say, I can do this, but I won't do this. I can't do this. I can't go home and say, you know what, babe, this marriage is all about me. You take care of me, you satisfy me, you deal with me, you make sure everything is all about me. There are some men who like to live that way. There are some women who believe that that's what they're supposed to do based upon the book created to be his helpmeet. That all I am supposed to do as a woman is to make sure that the man is fulfilled. A marriage relationship is about both parties. A man and a woman joined together, focused on Christ. So husbands, you must recognize the special relationship of marriage. And then fourthly, Husbands must recognize this need for spiritual genuineness. So Peter addresses these statements, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers may not be hindered. So you read that phrase, you read that statement, and you say, well, wait a second. Peter seems to be saying that there is a direct relationship of my spiritual life and how I treat my wife. And it seems to be more than just saying it or implying it. It seems to be that Peter's actually saying that. There is a direct relationship, men, in how you treat your wife and your relationship spiritually with Jesus Christ. There's a direct relationship. So what is Peter trying to address? Two things. First of all, husbands cannot expect their prayers to be effective if they do not respect their wives. Look at the progression of this verse. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Well, what's part of that understanding way? Well, part of that is I'm going to show honor to her as the woman who is the weaker vessel. Why? Since they are heirs with me of the grace of life. I'm going to respect her. I'm going to value her, and I'm going to look at her like Christ looks at her. And if I don't do that, what does Peter say? Your prayers will be hindered if you're not treating your wife as you are supposed to treat her. And I'm sure there are some who would rebut at this point and say, yeah, but you don't know my wife. And Peter never put that paragraph statement in here. Peter never put that little parenthetical statement in here. But only if she's a beauty queen, only if she's the most amazing woman ever, only if she is everything you ever possibly imagined a woman to be. Peter doesn't put that parenthetical statement in here. What does Peter say? Husbands, doesn't matter who your wife is. Doesn't matter what she looks like, doesn't matter what she does, doesn't matter how she is, doesn't matter her personality, doesn't matter any of that. Husbands, you live with your wives in an understanding way. Husbands, you show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Husbands, you recognize the fact that they are joint partners with you of the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers may not be hindered. There are men who would argue that if my wife does not meet every expectation that I've ever had, then I don't need to respect her, I don't need to love her, I don't need to care for her, I can just kind of discard her and trade her in, or just kind of let this relationship go. And this is why the mirror of Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33 is so important. Why? Because Jesus Christ loved the church. Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. Jesus Christ honors us. Jesus Christ purifies us as the church. Jesus Christ loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So even husbands, even if you have an unbelieving wife, you must live with her in an understanding way. You must show honor to her as the weaker vessel, and you must recognize that she is a joint partner with you with the grace of life of marriage. Even if she is unsaved, it doesn't matter. You treat her, love her, provide for her, protect her with the same respect, the same love, the same value that God has for us. Letter B, husbands cannot expect God's blessings if they are abusing their authority. There are husbands who abuse the authority of the position. They've taken upon themselves certain rights, certain freedoms, certain laws that they've created because they are the man, they are the husband, they are the top of the marriage, so to speak. And so there are husbands who have abused their authority. And Peter says this, hey, husbands, if you're abusing your authority, if you're not treating your wife with respect, if you're not loving her as Christ loved the church, if you're not respecting her, if you're not providing for her, if you're not protecting her, guess what? There's going to be a direct impact upon your spiritual walk. So what you cannot have a man who discards his wife. You cannot have a man who discredits his wife. You cannot have a man who disrespects his wife and then says, look at me, I'm a spiritual man walking with God. Peter says, you cannot have those two things together. Those two things cannot exist together. Because if you're disrespecting your wife, you're not protecting her, you're not providing for her, you're not understanding her, you cannot turn around and say, look at me, how godly and spiritual I am. Peter says there's a direct correlation. You want to say that you're a spiritual person, you want to have your prayers answered, you want to have your prayers heard, you want to have a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ that you should desire as a believing man, then it's going to have a direct impact upon how you treat and how you live with your wife. We cannot live duplicitous life, double standard life. I cannot go home and beat my wife or disrespect my wife or emotionally abuse my wife and then show up to church and say, oh, look at me. I'm so godly. I'm so wonderful. I'm so great. I mean, I could do those things, but what does Peter say? Dietz, you're a fool. Because you're not actually the spiritual person that you're trying to portray. And unfortunately, there are a lot of women who live and dwell in relationships of marriage who are going through this very thing, where during the week or when no one is watching, their husbands are treating them like dirt. The same men who will show up to church and say, oh, look at me, aren't I wonderful? And Peter says, dude, you can't do that. That doesn't even fit together. Why do we do this? Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers may not be hindered. There is a direct relationship between our spiritual walk, our spiritual relationship, and how we treat our wives. So men, you want to be the spiritual man? You want to be the spiritual leader? You want to be the guy who can say, look at me, I'm a godly man in a humble way? Check how you're treating your wife. Because when you're behind the scenes and when no one's there to watch and no one's there to see how you treat your wife, that's going to be a direct relationship and a direct identification of how you are spiritually. What has God called us to do as husbands? Here's the challenge. God has called us as men to be lifelong students of our wives. And that's a hard thing to do. I'm just going to be very honest. Dave Dietz does not like this verse. I'm not saying I don't like my wife. I'm not saying I don't love her. But I don't like this verse. Why? Because this is a really hard verse. And probably, if the women are honest, they look at verses 1 through 6 and say, well, yeah, we don't really like those verses either. So if we think about this in persecution, if we think about this in preparing for persecution and preparing for what may lie ahead, why is Peter so adamant taking 7 verses to talk about the husband and the wife and their relationship to one another? Because nothing will divide a family quicker than when the relationship is focused on themselves and not focused on Christ and not focused on serving and being a blessing to others, to them, marriage. So as husbands and wives, we need to make sure that we are modeling Christ in our marriage, from the moment you say, I do, to the moment death parts you. You, as men, are to be lifelong students of your wife. I do not like 1 Peter 3:7, because it goes contrary to my selfish nature, and my selfish nature has a lot to say. But I look at this text, and I look at this passage, and I say, you know what? Kind of go back to that video, like, dude, okay, you know what? I'm going to try to understand. I'm going to try to love. I'm going to try to care. I'm going to try to treat you as Christ treated the church. Because in men, there is oftentimes a repulsion to do that because we don't understand it. And we don't get it. And we don't know it. And we're kind of different. And what does Peter say? Hey, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. If you know a woman at the office or a woman at the workplace better than you know your wife, you are failing as a husband. If you know some other person, some other thing better than you know your wife outside of Christ, as a husband, you are failing. Because Peter instructs us as an imperative statement, a command, husbands, you must have a proactive relationship with your wife, living with her, dwelling with her together, and do it in a way that you understand and you comprehend her. And wives, as verses 1 through 6 stated, you submit yourselves to your husbands. And when the two work together, it is a beautiful picture of how Christ intended it to look. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, the challenge that is to us as men to live with our wives in an understanding way. It's difficult. And sometimes we just desire to give up entirely. Father, I pray that if there is a couple here today where one of them or both of them have given up, Father, today I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, would enable them to re-engage, to reaffirm, to become the lifelong learner of their spouse that you want them to be. Father, may you be glorified in the marriage relationships that we have here at Whitneyville Bible Church. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Help us to be men who are godly, spiritual, genuine men who love our wives, who care for them, provide for them, protect them, respect them. Father, may you allow Christ to be seen in us as men. We pray these things in your name. Amen.